knows how to get away from us.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
I don't pretend.
This is gonna be the best in the whole wide world.
Jack, we're already rolling.
Okay. Okay. Mom, I'm gonna have you kind of do the intro with Cheryl. But why don't you just act? Because it's Cheryl's your colleague and number one boo. So we should have you just kind of do the. Welcome to the Osbournes podcast today.
Yeah. So I want to say hi to everybody. And the family today is joined by my very good friend, Cheryl Underwood.
Yay!
I am the Black Osbourne that you guys only invite certain places.
Do you know how many places we go? We're like, God, we wish Cheryl was here. We'd make it more fun.
When we went to London, that was amazing.
Oh, my God. Did we have fun there?
God. Did we, Mrs. O?
I had major
We
FOMO.
Shut it down. Major we shut FOMO. It down. Shut it down.
I wish I was there.
Oh my God, the food was amazing. The just everything was amazing. The Dorchester amazing, but the place underneath where you get the Chinese food.
Chinatang.
Oh, yeah, Chinatang. Whoa. How much fun
Listen,
did we have there?
Shut it down.
When did
who's the dude with the? I'm sorry. Who's the dude that's
Louis
on the show?
Walsh.
Oh yes,
Louis Walsh.
I'm in love with Louis. So can I have sex with Louis?
I'll tell him. We could
tell him. He's dashing. He dresses nice.
He invited you to.
Sure
Dublin,
did. That's and... right. And I'm going to Ireland.
Come with me because we're going to go to the live shows of Ireland's
X Factor?
No, he's doing Ireland's Got Talent.
I will go. But you got to see, this is the thing, Kelly. In the Black neighborhood, when someone takes you somewhere, we're very, very nice. Oh, are we cursing on this?
Yeah.
This is ass, gas, or pass. So I'm going to have to give up something if he's taking me to Ireland. But he don't have to do.
I'm
he don't have to
lost.
Do the.
I'm lost, Cheryl. I need you to
wait,
tell
can
me
we just,
what ass.
Can
we
ass gas or pass?
Can we so just contextualize this for a second? Uh-huh. When did you go to England and for what? And
My best friend in the world, Erna Fouché, says she wanted to go. She has a bucket list that we call a fuck it list because her cancer is in remission. So she wants to see Tokyo. We went to Tokyo for sorority meeting. Then she wanted to see China, and I said, don't do it. I went. It's nice. It's very nice, but you want to see Hong Kong. It's very nice. And then we went to London because we wanted to see Mrs. O do the X Factor. And I wanted to run up on Simon because I have ideas. And then I met Louis, and I was like, that's me. I could be with him.
And it had to be the first. Cheryl was there for the first show, and the first show was when Simon was sick. He fell down the stairs.
Somebody pushed him. They didn't want us to meet.
No, he
I'm
was
offended.
Sick, and so Cheryl didn't get to meet Simon.
No, and I love him.
Oh, tragedy.
I know, it's tragic. So I met Louis, and Louis is, he fine,
Yeah, he's
fine. And he's my age range.
All actually. Right, so real quick, for people who haven't quite figured it out, Cheryl is the co-host of The Talk along with my mother.
Yes.
So these two spend an awful lot of time together.
Yes.
They
get in trouble everywhere they go.
Yes.
We kind of have this thing where... when we're doing the show, we just look at each other,
yes.
And we know exactly what the other one's thinking.
Thinking.
And sometimes I can't look back because I will start laughing.
And then I look at Mrs. O like, I got you. So whatever you say, I got you. Because I don't let nobody come on. Remember when Caitlin...
Oh, my God. I told the guys, you took the rap from Caitlin Jenner when she came back on the show. Because we were... okay. We were discussing Caitlyn Jenner having a sex change.
Yes.
And we said on the show,
yes.
I wonder what's happened to his willy.
That's
and
right.
I said, well, they just put it in a bin bag and his old willy goes away in a bin bag.
Right. And so
Caitlyn
was
off.
Caitlyn was upset.
That's not how it works, though.
I don't know.
They cut it and down the center and it folds up inside and goes actually inside. And
so we still got it.
Okay.
It creates the walls of the vagina.
Okay.
Of the vagina.
Wow. Hey, Dad, how you doing?
I'm getting an education here.
Right. Well, I thought maybe you...
I'm not going that way, Professor.
No, you don't need to, Ozzy. That's not a knife sharp enough or big enough
Dad
for what you...
Dad would like a nice
actually, no,
cooch.
They don't make a knife small enough.
Nah, nah, Ozzy.
Oh, you seen? You looked at yours recently.
That's how I know.
You all are black for real because y'all planted dozens on the penis. What's happening? So, okay, what did you want to ask me? I'm sorry, I apologize.
So, no, let's finish this. So, Caitlin came on the show as Caitlin after she'd had her vajayjay, whatever it is.
Yes.
And she came on and she started about, she was getting into what we'd said on the show about her.
Yes. Caitlin can hold a vendetta.
And I had said it. And Cheryl goes, well, it was me and I'd like to apologize. And well, I'm like looking going, oh.
Oh, well, you jumped on the grenade.
Well, no. I did what we say in the hood. I did Sharon a solid, but I did co-sign on the joke. Because remember, we were talking about throwing it out the window, like Lorena Bobbitt, and putting it in a velvet case, and can you really use it?
But you know you owe Cheryl now. Like, if Cheryl, like, kills someone and she calls you, like, yo, bring the shovel and the lime.
Right.
You're going to have to be a ride or die bitch
but
now.
But here's the thing, I guess, this was my feeling too, was that it was you and I having a conversation that I thought was quite humorous. But Caitlin seemed to want to come to you. And I just didn't like that because it's like, you come, like we say, you come from one of us, you come from all of us. But if you want to really be accepted in the mainstream, you got to take being ragged on.
It's true.
Well, that's what I
100% true.
Yeah, you got to take being ragged on. And it wasn't a hurtful joke. She the one said it in the book.
Well,
yeah.
This is the problem that I have with all of it. Mm-hmm. Rather than getting angry, what she did was such a brave move, very, you know, modern in its belief system, and it paved the way for a lot of people to become the women they were born to be. Mm-hmm. And instead of turning it into like a nagging contest or a bitch fest, how about educate people so that you could say, "Ha, very funny, but actually this is what happens," and this so that people understand it.
Yes, but at the same time, it's a big decision. You just don't think, you don't wake up one morning and go, "I want this operation."
Right. I don't think that's how it went down at all.
No, but what I'm saying, a lot of people who have it regret it. It's in a lot of people.
Some people do.
This conversation makes me so uncomfortable because it's something I truly believe in, and I feel like dangerous ground.
It's one of those situations that once you've had it, you can't go, you know what, I want to be back. Once you've made that decision, it's there forever. And whether you like it.
No, they're reversible.
No, it's not.
Jack, it is. There are people who go back.
Not
how
does
that
look
work?
It doesn't look exactly the same as it did before,
Cheryl's
but they do go back.
I know. I was like,
hey, that's what I was trying to explain to you. So basically, they cut the penis in half and
They make the folds for the vagina.
But they can then take it. Turning an outie belly button.
I know what you're
going to
say.
You turn
an outie
into an innie. Yeah, they're turning an outie into an innie.
Well, this is my feeling, though, about it. It would be different if Caitlin was not on one of the most prolific reality shows in the world. And they put all their business out on the street. If you were just a regular person, I could see you feeling some type of offense. But I think sometimes people come after Mrs. O just like they come after the Osbournes, period, because that's where they make their bones. That's where they get their fame from, because y'all international.
Well, I just
if I could change my credit cards to have Osbourne on it.
I think, don't worry, it wouldn't work. So listen, ours are all like cracked. Caitlin, for me, the one thing that bothers me about Caitlin is that she has no sense of humor. She needs to lighten up and realize that this is, you know, of course people are going to talk and they are going to make jokes.
Right.
Because that's the world we live in.
That's right.
When she went
to England, they were blatantly but lack of education, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's just that you can't be a fucking javelin thrower 1 minute and a pussy the next.
Oh God!
But
no.
You can
change. Oh my God! Are you serious?
What?
Stop slurping! Whatever you're slurping.
I am enjoying a cup of coffee. What is wrong with enjoying a cup of coffee while we work?
The sound it makes when it slips past your lips and teeth.
But
and
you
down
see,
your gullet.
But you see, what you're not understanding about that process is that it is filling my body with mushroom-enriched coffee awesomeness.
Oh, you're drinking that coffee you made me taste yesterday.
I am. I am drinking a nice cup of 4 Sigmatic coffee.
Why is it so good?
I tell you what, Kel, it is good because it's not bitter. It's very smooth to taste.
I didn't know you were a coffee fan, Sharon.
I have it in the morning, otherwise I'm like sleeping on the job.
Did you have kids are caffeine free?
No. So here's the cool thing about this coffee. Because it's infused with mushrooms, special kind of mushrooms, the first being the lion's mane mushroom. A lot of Buddhist monks in Asia believed that this promoted better focus during their meditations.
What?
Yeah.
Well, the monks have been gone for thousands of years, so they must know what they're talking about.
Right.
Do you know what I really like, Jack?
What?
I thought that it was very smart the way they packaged it in the travel one so that you have just enough in a sachet for one cup of coffee.
Yes.
I've never seen that with a coffee company before.
No,
in the packaging
well, I've
alone.
Never seen that.
But I'm telling you, mushrooms are so good. The chaga mushroom, I had it when I had the cancer, and everybody was telling me about it and take them and whatever, and I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good.
Well, anything that helped mum get through her cancer, I'm a fan of.
That's
and
right.
Any coffee that makes people less jittery, I'm also a fan of.
And also, too, if you're going to drink a cup of coffee, why not drink a cup of coffee that's got some actual health benefits?
I'm not a big fan of coffee personally, but I forced myself to have one in the morning. But I had the one you gave me yesterday was, oh, I must say, was very delicious.
So if our listeners would like to drink this coffee, they can go to foursigmatic.com/Osborns, and they can use the Osborns discount code, which is Osborns.
And foursigmatic is foursigmatic.com/Osborns.
Our listeners can get 15% off of all products plus free shipping when you order a coffee bundle.
Okay, let's change. What do you want to talk about? My sex life?
Yes, please.
I want to talk about you, Cheryl.
Okay.
Tell us about yourself, because I find you fascinating, the fact that, mm-hmm. you know, you... a very highly educated woman. You mm-hmm. have a outstanding stand-up comedy career,
mm-hmm.
as well as a radio career.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the military.
Mm-hmm.
How did Cheryl Underwood arrive in 2018?
Wow, I don't know where to start. All I do know is that my dad really let me know that there was nothing I couldn't achieve or do, you know. So I had a really, yes, just like Ozzy, I had a daddy that was just out there, and he was like, whatever you want to do, you do it. And you're pretty because you look like daddy. And you know, that's my dad, you know. And he used to call me son, and I didn't understand it. And because I was his first born, because I have a younger brother, he always called me son until the day he died. Because I guess biblically the firstborn gets everything, or just like with y'all and the queen and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he was calling me son because I was the firstborn. I always tried to find a way to pay for my schooling because, as you know, on the show, I talk about my birth mother. We didn't have the greatest relationship in the world. So my brothers on my birth mother's side kind of got everything. So everything I had to work hard for, and I'm glad I did because I didn't get anything easily. I was going through college and trying to pay my way through college, and I rarely tell this story, so I must trust you all. So I didn't have enough money while I was in Chicago, and I answered an ad for what they called lingerie modeling.
It was, ooh.
And really, you were supposed to. So you have to. It's in a tavern, and it's a place off Stony Island called Family Den in Chicago. And you put on the lingerie, and you'd have to come out and model it. So the guy would buy the lingerie, and you have to strip it off. And that was the beginning of my sexual interpretive dance career.
I love that. Sexual interpretive
dance career.
So he would buy the lingerie that you were wearing.
Yes, and I'd have to strip it off.
Okay.
Oh.
But I was horrible at it. And so I would make the guys laugh. And you know how Fred Sanford used to do the knee cross thing? Or I'd start dancing or ham boning or telling jokes. So they start tipping me because I was funny.
Okay.
But there was one guy there that said, this is not for you to do. He said, you are sexy, but this is not for you to do. You're not really good at this. at all. No matter how much I tried, I wasn't good at it, you know. But I always could do great sexual discussion and political discussion and religious.
Oh, you got religious while stripping?
Well, I was already pretty religious. There were things that I never wanted to do. Like, I don't believe in sex out of wedlock. Uh-huh. I don't believe in it.
You don't.
I don't believe in it. If I can get out of it, I'll definitely get out. Well, if I was good at it, I think the sex would be really good. But I'm not great at it, so that's why I try to get a biblical discussion in there before he takes his clothes. You know,
the Lord doesn't want me to do this.
No, that's right. And the Lord really doesn't want me to show you how horrible this is.
So you start, did this gentleman help you get into doing stand-up comedy, or was it just kind of a...
Real story, who he was a street guy. And he said, let me take you home because this ain't for you to do. And I found out that he was a street guy.
What's a street guy?
A pimp?
No, he wasn't a pimp. There were pimps in the room. But I'm too strident for being on the other side of that business transaction. Mm-hmm. So this guy, I think he was, I think he took care of people.
A killer.
Oh, hitman.
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous.
Thank you.
Fabulous.
And I remember something. You know what? This is so fun because this is just a great. This is going in the direction I didn't think it was gonna go. So,
I bet you wish you'd never said ask me anything.
I kind of you can ask me anything. What I liked about this guy was he was always very protective of me. And you remember, Mrs. O, I told you I had been raped, right? And I was going on a bus back and forward to reserve duty, and I had been raped. But I was still going to college, and I was taking the bus back and forward to the college. And this guy would sit in the room with me with the door open until I went to sleep. Aww. And then he would leave. He would tell my father goodnight, and then he would come back in the morning, and then he would make sure I got on the bus. And so he said, you know, if I find the guy, I'm going to kill him, right? And I was like, please don't kill nobody on my behalf, you know. So remember, we talked about me wanting to have the person who was molesting me every day killed.
Yeah,
that's what I meant by there were men. There are men in my life that would take a life for my honor, and I try not to engage that very much because I have a very bad temper.
Yeah, that's like a a coin you don't want to cash too often.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. And not even my relatives.
But Cheryl, you were sexually abused as a child,
yes,
too.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it kind of, most people that are sexually abused, either they're hypersexual. Like, if you ever hear Oprah talk about it, and she talks about how sexual she was when she got pregnant at 14 and everything. So it could, because it turns on a switch on you that you didn't think, you know, was going to be turned on. Plus, God made it in your body to feel great, right? Mm-hmm. But there are things that I just don't do. I don't. And men are very shocked to meet me. And I go, let me tell you how this is not going to go. There's two things I know how to do. One, not good. And one, very well. Flip a coin. And I hope you pick the thing I know how to do very well.
Dad's a man of few words during this.
What's the question? What do you want to know, Ozzy? What do you want to know?
How long were you in the military for?
I went in 82. I took the ASVAB test out of high school, and that was the test to see if you could join the military. And they had all the leaders of the campus, because I was I was a rally commissioner. I was the president of the Black Student Union. So I'm very popular on a campus that was 5% minority. That means all of us together, 5%.
Yeah.
The school was 95%. And they put us in a room. We took this military test, and they pulled me aside, and they said, you know, you scored very well in the ASVAB. Well, I was going to go into the military anyway, because I really believe that the United States needs to have 2 years, like Israel has.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say
And we need 2 years. You go to the military for 2 years, and you can be in the Guard, you can be in the Reserve, you can do something. But I really wanted to do it. And when I joined, I was going to high school at Atwater High, Castle Air Force Base, and I went into the military, the Air Force Reserve, Travis Air Force Base, right up in San Joaquin Valley. And I met my husband, who was active duty military at Castle Air Force Base. And when we got married, I was still in the reserve. And I loved being in the reserve. And I love wearing a uniform. And I love serving the country. It taught me some things. But it also taught me how to entertain. Because we had a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
So people would get their guitar out. And we would tell jokes. And I got out of a lot of trouble because I had a sense of humor. You know, and that's the only way I could, you know.
Goes a long way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, we would trade stuff with the Army guys. Like, if they're polishing shoes, great. We do papers or, mm-hmm. or whatever we did better than they did. We had a lot of fun. A lot. Man, yeah.
How long were you in the military?
Military. For, I was, let's see, went in 82, came out in 91.
Oh, wow.
After my husband died in 90.
Solid 9 years,
yeah,
so sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think God doesn't put on you more than you can bear. Mm-hmm. And if you never fail, you know, if you never lose, you never learn. And if you never fail, you never succeed. Because a lot of people don't know how to work their way out of tragedy or out of their own mistakes. You know, as long as you're not dead. You know, everything could go good.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're not dead. And I love to be in the military for those 9 years. I would have retired. I just could not bear, because I was a field medic, so I would have been on the battle mm-hmm. trying to patch everybody up and take care of everybody. And it was just something that I would rather entertain than be in the medical field, because my heart was so burdened by it. I would cry, you know, and then we would go see the veterans and the amputees, and I would just cry, and they would go, "You leave the room because you're bringing everybody down." So
I used to go to the Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, and people should see that, you know.
Yes.
You know, they used to, so many people got killed today or whatever, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of them that got fucked up for the rest of their life.
Absolutely, Ozzy. And when I went to Walter Reed as well, when I was president of a sorority, and I would go in and visit, and they were the strongest people in the world with the loss of their limbs or the inability to function as they were.
Nearly all of them were jolly juice or whatever they give them.
Mm-hmm.
But and they would say, "Oh, I'm going to get a clerical job." It's that bullshit. He's like, and I think mm-hmm. if anybody gets badly messed up in the military, they should never want for a pill.
Never work again.
Because they're fighting for the freedom of the country.
Absolutely.
So the country owes them a debt of gratitude.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And if they want to work, then someone should allow them to work. But I agree with you. They should not want for anything. Not a home.
No.
Not the education of their family.
Nobody gives a shit, you know. They send these young boys out.
Absolutely.
And they come back in pieces, and then they're just dropped.
A few years back, the Commandant of the Marines, mm-hmm. he actually said, "We'll no longer force medically retire any wounded vet. If they want to stay, and mm-hmm. if there's a job they can do, they can do." I mean, and there's multiple guys now with no legs who've actually gone back to active duty mm-hmm. and went back and deployed numerous times, you know? So there are, with the advances of, you know, these prosthetics, it's actually giving these guys the abilities to continue to do what they love.
And when you get into it, I will tell you this. When I went through basic training, I wasn't the athlete. I mean, I ran track. I did certain things. But when they said, the first night when they said, "You're going to run a mile," I was like, "Who going to run a mile?" You know? And when I ran the first mile, I was feeling good about myself. You know, and my TI, Sergeant Cruzan, he pointed to this bluff and he said, "You're going to climb that." He knew I was afraid of heights. He said, "You're going to climb that." And I go, "The fuck? You? No." And when I did it, he was crying. And they used to call me Grits Underwood because every morning I would go, "Well, do we have any grits?" And they would go, and the grits. And you know, grits is a hominy. It's like a porridge. So I would go, "Do we have any grits?" And they would come out, "Why the fuck are you asking? Do we have any grits?" And they would, you know how they yell at you and stuff. "Why are you asking? Do we have grits yesterday? No. Do we have grits today?" They would just yell at you, right? And so every morning I would go, "Do we have any grits?" Are there any grits? Did anyone go to store? So anyway, we became so close that when I climbed up and down this bluff, he cried.
Aww.
He cried. And he said, "I knew you could do it." He said, "And remember this day, that anything you set your mind to, you can do. You will come home from anything, any exercise, anything." And I do agree with you, Ozzy, that all of our countries need to understand that what you're doing is some of us, you're training us to kill. And in training us to kill doesn't mean that that's cut off when my leave. Mind snaps right. When my mind snaps.
It's like training a dog to bite.
Yeah.
You give it to a new owner, he's still going to know how to bite.
That's right. And then say, don't bite no more. And mm-hmm. see, to me, like, that's why I think we should put more money into what happens to our military when they come home.
Yes,
and
I
this
agree.
Is a different type of altercation that we're going through. Yeah. There's no longer a Geneva Convention. And you're fighting against people that, in my opinion, have a mental component to it. There is no chivalry. There's no.
They don't wear uniforms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's almost psychopathic. So I need my best killer up against your best killer. But then how do I turn off my killer?
There's a really amazing book called Tribe by mm-hmm. Sebastian Younger, and he mm-hmm. actually dives into that because he was a combat correspondent mm-hmm. for 25, 30 years, went to, you know, every war through the 90s, mm-hmm. you know, the war on terror, everything. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this fantastic book about the cycle, you know, basically the homecoming for soldiers and yes. how to reassimilate back to being right. a civilian. And it touches on some really interesting points about it.
Absolutely.
And how that as a society, we've moved away from a tribal structure mm-hmm. and communities that are more tribal in nature. Mm-hmm. When their warriors went off to battle and they yeah. came back, they adjusted better because they felt there was actual adequate support because there was
yes.
there was a system in place already.
Yes. And that was necessary. Whatever a military needs. Same thing with law enforcement and highway patrol, because you're dealing with a different type of individual now. We don't have officer friendly, where you used to come into career day and go, hi, I'm officer so-and-so, don't you want to be police? Now,
exactly.
It's exaggerated. That, and for people that say, well, the police shouldn't have this, police shouldn't have that, we're in an industry where I have to have armed security, and I need the best, and I need somebody to understand when you're going to do me harm or you're mentally ill and attached to me in some way that's not necessary. So I'm sorry, is this a dragon conversation now? Is this what y'all want to talk about?
No,
this is
no.
good.
Okay.
This is,
not at all.
But this is what I'm like, you are, I think you're such a fascinating person, Cheryl. I mean, like, so did you retire as an officer because you went
no,
to college?
No, what happened was when I went into the military in the 80s, I was just now going into community college. So I went in as an enlisted person,
okay.
and I could have stayed in, and I could have even gone back after I got my degrees and been a lieutenant and things. And my heart was more into entertaining the troops. Mm-hmm. And that's why doing, you know, two USO tours, it was fun to me. It was fun. And I was so dirty that the Sergeant Major of the Army, Sergeant Major Preston, was like, is there any way we can cut some of those
tone
oral...
Tone it down.
Yeah,
tone
it down, those oral sex jokes. And he goes... Do you have to talk about oral sex? I said, well, you know, I said, honestly, then why'd you invite me? I said, because I'm really good at that part. But I said, I have something else that I could do. And he said, what is it? And it was Christmas time. What is it? I said, well, I do this bit called Shelvis, a tribute to the king. And it's where I put on this Elvis outfit. He said, do that. He said, please do that. And if you could cut down some of them oral sex jokes, that would help me a lot. So I would do my little Shelvis tribute to the king, and everybody's crying and laughing, and I had the wig and the mutton chops and the outfit and everything, and I would come out, and you know how he would
Did
do all
the
karate
the
moves?
Suit?
Oh, yes. It was white with red, and the kick pleat and the lion head belt that black people still believe is Versace. I don't know why we believe this, but it was Elvis lion head. And so we went out to these FOBs, these forward operating bases. You know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. And these guys were going, they didn't want to see me. All they wanted to see was Dallas Cowboy Chili's. So they was like, who the hell is that? You know? And I go, well, I'm a comedian. You better be goddamn funny because I'm out here. And then, so they was like, oh, you better be funny. So I told the dirtiest jokes.
They must have loved it.
They did. They loved it. And I could hear them on the helicopters, the Blackhawks, saying, you know that black girl, we didn't know who the hell she was. She made me shit my pants, laugh so damn hard. Now go home, cold beer, a little oral sex. Protect her. Make sure you protect her. And I cried. I couldn't believe that somebody that didn't know me, because I bought him a little respite in that day.
Yeah.
Really. So, and the Sergeant Major patted me on the back and said, well, maybe you can put a couple of them jokes back in.
That's great.
Which are the same jokes that when Ozzy saw me on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. and I was known for that.
Nice. What's your favorite joke from the USO tours?
Favorite joke.
Oh, which one got the most laughs?
Oh, any oral sex joke.
Well, here's one. I want to hear it.
Any oral sex. I would get cheers and standing ovations when I would go, tell your wife what time the flight is landing and you need a cold beer and a hot piece of ass waiting on you. And they would cheer. They would cheer. And they would go, why you make that a T-shirt? You know, but I mean, I think for me, let me see, what's my... Oh, now this is a joke that offends women, but men love it. It's the use of the word cunt. It's the use of the word cunt. And I said it drives white women berserko, but black people don't use it. And that's a cunt is a derogatory term for a vagina. And everybody claps and everything. And I go, okay, but... if it's not about you, if your vagina's not in a derogatory state at this moment, you should not let it move you. So I'm going to use cunt in a sentence. Okay, and everybody goes, okay, use it in a sentence. I would pick you up for church in the morning, but I cunt find my car keys. And men love this joke. Women hate it. Men love
it. That's the worst thing you can ever say to a woman.
That's right. They hate it.
But let me tell you why. Because, okay... in England, we throw that word around all the time. It's nothing. In America, the reason why I think it is that when a man says it to a woman, it's the meanest thing they can think of to say to you. And that they mean it with the intent of really hurting your feelings.
No, it's that one word that for some reason you can call them fucking bitch, whatever.
That's right.
You go, you cunt, and it's like...
Yeah, but that's my point. And you got to put extra on it, Ozzy. You really mean it.
Fucking cunt. Ozzy, you got to put some extra on it. You fucking cunt.
I mean, I know, but
that they don't. They hate it.
It's like the death word.
The death word.
It's funny. I was with my friend the other day, and we were talking about some stuff, whatever, about wives, and I was with his wife. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, Lisa can be a little cunty sometimes.
See that?
And that's my wife.
Right.
And now, because when you put E at the end of it, yeah. it softens it. And so now he's like, oh, my wife allows cunty now.
Yes.
So instead of being bitchy,
you can be cuntish.
This is what I say. Cuntish. Oh, I can't find my cunting phone.
Yeah.
If you put an ing on the end of it, it's also
but anything
right.
You say with that British accent sound good. You could, okay, black people, don't turn the radio off. You might be able to get away with saying the N word toward me.
No.
If you, maybe.
I would never.
Maybe.
No. No.
It's so dignified.
No.
So, okay, so if we was hanging out with my friends, y'all would not say,
never.
So where are
never.
We inwards going?
No.
Never.
Are we inwards going to the club?
That word in my mouth.
So, no, we can't say, we can't ask, are we inwards going to the club?
No.
Are you inwards buying a round of Cavassier? Nobody's going to. Listen. I believe that, one, I use the word because it's seasoning on a joke. But I use all of the seven dirty and everything. The issue with white people using it, and you look at the climate now, you can either treat me like it and don't say it, and I'd much rather you say it so I know whether you're treating me like something.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. I cannot give you a ghetto pass. That's the ability to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. So when
if you want a word to be, you gotta get a ghetto pass. No, but if you want a word to go away, everybody should stop using it. And then
yeah,
we'll,
but okay,
it's so fun to use.
I liken it to this. Okay, mm-hmm. I feel that I can say stuff about Jewish people.
Yes.
And I call a lot of Jewish people Hebes and this and that. And
but that's because you are
because
Jew.
I am.
Right.
And that's the difference. That but when you want to use the N-word,
yes,
you
yeah.
can use it.
Yeah, but if you
it's
want...
It's your culture.
That's right.
And you can say you wanna, it.
White people have no business using that word
no
at any time.
No business at all. And the thing is, it's like, I can say thing about Jewish people,
right.
but if... anybody else does that's not Jewish, it's offensive.
So if you want something to
go away,
if you want something to go away, no one should use it, then
take it out the lexicon.
In a couple of generations.
Well, there is that argument.
Take it out the
lexicon. Absolutely that argument.
But if back in the day when we all was imbibing and utilizing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we was getting Cat Williams high. You know how high you get. Okay. Sorry. Thanks, Jack. Let's say we were really back in the day. If we was all back in the day partying and it was an orgy.
Oh!
and drugs and alcohol and double orgy.
Double orgy.
I think, well, I have had situations. Because I date white men. You know, I date white men.
Which do you prefer?
I prefer a man willing to live in his own home and be in a relationship with me. Please live in your own home.
But you don't. You don't. No, you've said this before. Cheryl would love to get married, but Guy, keep your own home.
You need to live in your own.
Yours, yeah.
Because I'm going to make you kill me one day. You're going to strangle me. I'm going to get on your nerves. But I have had people say things to me that while we having sex that they didn't understand was,
Yeah,
they say vile stuff like this is the best I ever had, and then it'll be this is the best I ever had. Provocative language on the end, you'd be like, "Well, wait a minute, those two things don't go together," you know. But in the bliss of orgasmic climax, I've heard the craziest stuff said to me.
Like what?
Like the N-word.
No, no.
And it's the best I've ever had. And it didn't have an ER on the end. It had an AH on the end.
Ooh.
And the person was not black. And I was like, ooh, what do I do now? Stop doing this?
That's when you roll over and go, this just got awkward. Like, if I close my eyes, will you just leave?
Okay, I'm sorry. So what else we got to talk about?
Wow.
This is the best in the world.
She's like, we're going through the roller.
Is this true that in your act you swallow your microphone?
Yes, it is. And that's the one skill that I have.
You swallow. Yes. Okay. Swallow it like.
I would say
almost down to the cord.
No.
I could get it almost down to the cord. Why I'm not married, I don't understand.
Doesn't it fade back?
No, because I had my wisdom teeth removed and I.
Oh my. This is hilarious.
God.
But
Cheryl, why haven't you done this on the talk?
Because.
Oh, tell us.
But you know what's funny? When I first got the job, I invited everybody out to Ontario in the Inland Empire to come see the set.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want them to get startled by someone filming something and going, this is what you hired. So I wanted them to see it. And I said, well, do you have any objection to this? And that was back when I was telling the joke about how we met.
Yeah.
And I was talking about Sarah and talking about Sharon and going to Julie's house and thinking I was lost and somebody wanted to park my car. And then you open the door and it looks like Tara. It looks like Gone with the Wind, don't it? The little circular driveway, and I was looking at all the black people like, so we work here? What do we do here?
Oh my God.
But I mean, I like we's working. But and then one time we went to watch Best Man Holiday. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, when mom was there for like 3 hours on her birthday.
Listen. I've never seen non-black people crying on a black movie when the wife dies in the movie. No spoiler alert, it's an old movie. And we're all crying and everything. But what was funny was I got there early. So I'm thinking I'm at the end of the driveway. I'm at the driveway where the door opens,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they're like, so they say, Mrs. Moves, it's ready for you to come in now. And I go, okay, open the door, I'll drive in. And they were like, no, you have to drive. This is the end of the driveway.
Mom and Cheryl are talking about being at Les Moonves' house, the head of CBS.
I said, well, where's the beginning of the driveway? So the guy points, got to be 4 blocks down or something crazy, down past the red truck. I said, motherfucker, that 4 blocks down. And he was like, yeah. I jumped out of the car. Me and this black man start hugging each other. We made it! Motherfucker, we made it! I said, okay, do they have cameras? Did they just see us have a black moment where we made it? Let's ask for more money. This how they live?
Okay. Fuck no. This, I want more money.
Right?
seen where you live.
Yeah, that's right.
Did they have good food there?
Did they? Yeah. Oh my God. Didn't she have the good. Best? The best. The best. And then some popcorn fell on the floor.
Oh no. Cheryl and I, when Julie said, oh, let's go into the bar and we'll have something to eat, I was like pounding it.
Oh my God. Like, me too. And wrapping it in napkins and everything. And then popcorn fell on the floor and somebody came out of the wall and picked up the popcorn.
Came out of the wall.
I was like, what the hell?
Like a ninja.
Yes.
Jack, I haven't seen you in glasses for so long.
Well, I normally don't wear glasses. I'm normally a contact lens wearing gentleman. My glasses were my thing, and then I was like, no, I don't like glasses anymore. I like contact lenses.
Yeah.
So that kind of brings us to Simple Contacts. I am currently waiting for mine to arrive. Now, Simple Contacts is a direct-to-consumer contact lens company. So you go online, you order your contacts, they ship them to you. But it is not like any other contact lens company I have ever encountered.
How come?
The cool thing about this process using Simple Contacts is that if you download the app, you can go follow the instructions and it will give you an eye test. Now, when you take the eye test using the app, you have to make sure you're wearing your current contact lenses and it will adjust you to 20/20 if need be.
On your phone?
On your phone.
Do you hear that, Ozzy?
On your phone. You look at a phone, get your eyes test.
It gives you instructions. You have to like set your phone up. You have to go 10 feet back. And then you have to read the letters and then punch in some information.
That's amazing.
And then they'll ship you your contacts.
Wow. Welcome to the scientific age.
I know, right?
That's brilliant.
So if you think you need contacts, go to a doctor. But if you already have contacts, go to simplecontacts.com/Osbornes. Use the promo code Osbornes. You'll get $30 off using our promo code. Now, in full disclosure, I must say that this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. So you must still go to a doctor periodically, but in the interim, use this app. Get the most up-to-date, fresh, awesome gangster contact lenses available out there. And the current test will basically make sure you are seeing 20/20. Simple Contacts have been rated 5 stars over 3,000 times on the App Store. You can text with the support team, and you can always speak with a person, not a robot. So that's cool. It's super fast. The vision test is self-guided and takes 5 minutes. Think how much time you will save compared to making an appointment, getting to the eye doctor, taking time off, getting those annoying drops in your eyes. This is the best, easiest, quickest solution for a little contact update. Go to the website, check it out, simplecontacts.com/Osbornes, and use that promo code Osbornes. You'll get $30 off using our promo code.
So
how did you get the job on the talk?
Oh, that's a good story. And your mama involved in this one. So,
called you from CBS.
Well, what I thought was, I don't know who it was, but I didn't take the call serious and I wasn't taking the call. I thought my friends, Chris Tucker, Jamie Foxx, Kevin Hart, Steve Harvey, I thought they were playing on the phone.
Cheryl, you just dropped something.
Oh, what?
Just those names.
Oh. Go ahead. Black
I can't
name
you
drop.
Actually looked on the floor.
Black name drop it. Love it. So I thought they were playing on phone, so I wouldn't take the call. But Steve said, again, drop another name. Steve said, bitch, it might be CBS. Can you call these people back, whoever they are? And I called back, and then we went in, and remember Nina Tassler?
Nina
Tassler.
I loved her.
I call her Judge Judy with better outfits. So they were in there and had to be like 25 people or something.
Fuck.
It felt like a lot of people. And they were asking me, well, who are you going to vote for? I said, you can't ask me no shit like this. I said, who is the lawyer here? I said, y'all getting sued. You can't ask nobody no question like that. They said, well, no, we just talking. We haven't started a meeting yet. I said, well, okay, so I'm voting for Obama. They said, aren't you a Republican? I said, again, you can't ask me no shit like this. You know, you're not supposed to ask this. I said, but I am a Republican. I'm voting for Obama because McCain can't win. So I'm breaking all this stuff down. And they go, would you talk about this on TV? I said, what? Well, they said, on the talk. I said, the Baby Mama Show? And they was like, yeah. I said, the Baby Mama Show. And he's like, yeah. I said, well, I don't have no kids. I had my transmission dropped, so I'm out. I'm barren. I'm dusty. Nothing's happening in here.
Dusty.
Yeah, I'm dusty. No,
well,
baby.
But you do have two fake children on the show.
Oh, they used to be, what was it? Didn't they used to be Dolce and Gabbana? And so they got in trouble. And then I had to rename them Dior and Couture.
Dior and Couture.
And Couture, right. My fake children.
The twins.
The twins, that's right. So then they asked me, did I want to go meet Julie and Sarah? I said, "Ooh, the girl from Big Brother, girl from Roseanne." Yeah, because I just think I'm gonna meet people. I don't think I'm gonna actually get a job. I didn't even know a job was open. So I'm talking to Julie, and I'm like, "Yeah, it was a wonderful person." I'm talking to Sarah, and I go, "So you're a lesbian, huh?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I go, "I slept with a lot of women. I'm not a lesbian. I'm more of a whore." Yeah. I just want to, you know,
just ingratiate yourself.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. You know what made me say it was more like, I don't know what
to break the ice.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Break
You're absolutely ice. Right. Yeah. I don't know what to say to you. So I'm gonna be honest in case it ever gets out that I slept with a lot of women.
Yeah.
But I'm not a lesbian. And so she looked at me like, "What?" So then I said, "Ooh, y'all probably got other people you want to talk to." And as I left, I said to both of them, I said, "Whatever's going on here, if you don't think I'm the right person for it and you don't pick me, pick somebody that'll keep this going, because you all have your money. It's about the people that put the lights together and cook the food and everything. Do something for somebody else, their children who need to go to college. Pick somebody going to keep this train rolling down the track, and, you know, because you already got money." And I just walked away. Then my phone rang and they said, "Can you go to breakfast with Sharon Osbourne, the Polo Lounge?" Well, I've never been to the Polo Lounge. So I'm like, "What day?" And they was like, "Tomorrow." And I was like, "Ooh." Well, at that time I was at Fort Bragg. I was doing shows at Fort Bragg every Wednesday. And this was a Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a Tuesday. So we had to go to breakfast.
How late was mom?
Well, this is the good part. Julie comes before she does Big Brother. Remember?
Yeah.
She's not wearing any makeup, right? So I'm in the Polo Lounge, and I get there early because I don't want to be stereotypically, you know, late or anything. But I don't know what I'm going for. I just think I'm going to meet her. And I'm like, "Ooh, I love her. I love her show, and I love this, and I love all the stuff she do. Maybe she could be my best friend." All this stuff is in my head. Maybe she'd be my best friend in the whole wide world, right? So I get to the Polo Lounge, these two black dudes, then security come up to me and go, "Cheryl, what you doing here, girl?" I said, "Brother, I'm here for the job interview." Both them Negroes said, "Human resources is," and they gave me the direction. I said, "No, motherfucker, I'm here for the CBS job." So
they pointed you to human resources.
Human resources.
Oh, God.
Swear to God. We all hugged. And I said, "Nah, I'm here to meet Sharon and Julie and everybody." So then when Julie introduced us, and then she left. And then me and Sharon, they was like, "What y'all want for breakfast?" You know, I'm from Arkansas. I'm country, right? So I eat my eggs over easy. I want to dip the toast in there. And as soon as I cut the yolk, Sharon throws up on me.
What? You and fucking threw up on her?
And across from our little, what's the little thing?
We were in a booth.
In a booth. And across.
You haven't lost your touch.
No, I was so sick.
And then across in the booth was Benji Madden and Nicole Richie and their kids.
Yeah, that's
right. Right. And I go, snap. Maybe her and Ozzy was getting that ooh-wee, or, you know, I thought maybe something was going on. That's okay, I'm going to help her out because we friends. In my mind, we friends now. So I'm going to cover this for her. I said, "Can you drive?" She's like, "Yeah." And then she started spraying. Remember you were spraying cologne?
Oh, no, but I did it and it went down your chest.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
No, we were sat together in a booth.
I was wearing.
But why would you throw up on Cheryl? How
was,
could,
no, I was
splattered.
Trying not to.
It splattered.
Was she a lot?
I know, but listen.
Okay.
It
you
was
do.
So
oh
bad.
Oh my God, Cheryl.
It was
I'm
bad.
So
you never
sorry.
Told me.
Yeah. And then I was staying at the apartment, right?
Yes.
So Cheryl got me in my car.
Yes.
I'm like, "I'm fine, Cheryl." I stop at the first traffic light, then I shit myself.
Oh.
And there's shit everywhere in the
Sharon,
car.
Sharon, you haven't lost your touch, though.
So then,
wow. You fucking...
then I go, how am I going to get out of the car and into that apartment?
Do you realize you're
is
gonna,
that when you came to my house?
No, I called Sabra and I said, "Sabra, I've just shit myself and thrown up and I'm really ill.
What did,
I
okay,
had a terrible
real,
temperature."
Real quick, for people who don't, Sabra is a woman who works for the family. She's like mom's lady in waiting.
And she's like my grandma, because I saw are in the Foxy Mall and we hugged each other like black people
Sabra.
On Roots. We were like, "Sabra!
Hey,
the Foxy-
I love you!"
Fox
How
as well.
To meet and influence people.
I have lunch like 4 days a week at the Fox Hills
Mall. Oh, my God. So you know where we were, right? Yeah. Oh, my God. So I'm like, but this is the wild part about the Sharon thing. And I go, look, whatever's happening to you, this didn't happen. We didn't. She said, but Julie, I said, I don't give a fuck. We were not here. This shit did not. I was wearing St. John. Donald Plenta. I had at least $5,000 worth of hair on my head.
Covered in puke.
Covered in my fucking puke.
And I was like, don't spray anything else. It's going to make you vomit even more. Don't do it. I was like, get in your car. This shit didn't happen. And as soon as you got in your car and pulled off, somebody.
How the fuck have I never heard this story?
And somebody called me and said, right as she pulls off and my car comes up and I get in my car, somebody says, calls on my Bluetooth, welcome to the talk. You have a job for 13 weeks. Can you come to the welcome back barbecue at Julie Chen and Leslie Moonves' house in Beverly Hills? Now, black people love barbecue. So I went shopping because I don't come empty handed in people's house. So then we get there and I'm like, I'm sitting in the corner and they have the meat out in the open. Remember they had the big ribeye steak and they had the Caribbean drums and they were blim, 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 blim. I was like, this is nice, you know? And then they had all this liquor that you didn't have to pay for. I was like, what? I was like, it's free. And so I put my little money in the little glass and I said, mix me a triple of vodka nothing. And so I'm sitting there and I'm drinking. I'm sitting there drinking, right? Over at Sharon table, they dying laughing. Because I guess it's some kind of game where you have to tell some story.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
And she's telling the end. And a guy comes up to me and says, tell the truth. Tears streaming down his eye. Tell the truth. Did Sharon Osbourne throw up on you at the Polo Lounge? I said, I never met Sharon Osbourne in my life. I said, is she here? I'd like to meet her.
Ride or die.
Right. Because there's no story. There's not enough money. There's nothing you can give me to betray my friends.
Uh-uh.
Nothing. And when people ask me things about you all, and I go, I don't know. Now, the only good story I do tell is being at the concert. That was a good concert. And everybody not having they didn't have a roach clip, so I had to pull a bobby pin out.
Yeah, the bobby pin out of your head.
That's right, because they didn't know.
Cheryl, when Sabbath played the Hollywood Bowl a couple years ago.
I was so proud.
This was the first time around, not the second time around.
Was it second? No.
The
last time.
Yeah.
It was nice, too. They had nice fine china.
Isn't that weird? I ended up breaking everything in my little area.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. I was so proud. And I was just telling all my friends, and they said, you went to the Black Sabbath concert? I said, yeah, I went. And 50,000 people were cheering Ozzy, and I know Ozzy. It was really cool. I really liked it. Okay, so what else you want to know?
I remember when I first came to America, you know, many, many years ago, and I did a show in Philadelphia. And it was full of African American people.
That's right.
They thought it was Black Sabbath.
Right.
My name was Black Sabbath.
Right.
And there was this guy in the audience, he kept coming in between songs, hey, you, Black Sabbath. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then he goes, I go, what do you want, man? He goes, you guys ain't black.
Because, you know, black people show up. Anything with black in the name. We show up. We're like, yeah, this is going to be funky right now. We're like, what happened?
On a more serious note, what? I do have to thank you for always being such an incredible friend to my mom. She completely changed with her social life and being more adventurous and having her girlfriends and doing stuff since you came into her life, and it's made such a difference.
I'm getting pissed off. I don't see her now.
Right, because we out. But don't you think, Mrs. O, I mean, one of the things that, you know, I still have every gift you guys have given me in a box.
Why don't you use it?
Well, here's two things. Okay, they gave me the bomb Louis Vuitton, right?
And I was with my mom when we got it.
Listen, I'll be, look at y'all ain't got this, you know? But there's two reasons I won't lose. One, because it means so much to me. And two, it means so much to me. It really, there's only two things I've ever gotten that I couldn't, I don't know, match it. A Cartier watch. And Louis Vuitton luggage.
And why don't you ever wear your watch?
The Cartier watch?
Yeah.
With a Cartier watch, I gave to someone, and I said, because they I gave it to my best friend because she said her medicine cost a lot of money, and I said, sell it.
Aww.
I said, sell it. And she said, but it means so much to you. I said, bitch, you mean more. Who's my friend? You my friend. You know, because I can't afford your medicine. So sell it. So sell it.
Mind you, you're not wrong. It's fucking so, it's more expensive.
It probably was. But my goal is to marry someone who will take me to the Cartier store and go, do what you want, darling. Like, fabulous. Fabulous. Fabulous, I shall. But my Louis Vuitton, though, I'm thinking about 2018 busting out my Louis Vuitton.
Oh, there you go.
Just
it's the year.
Bust it
the
out.
Year
I'm
of
bust
Louis Vuitton.
Out my Louis Vuitton. Come on. Because you've got the Bentley.
Yeah.
Use it.
I love the Bentley.
I love seeing you drive the Bentley.
I love that car.
Man, listen. You know how it feels to drive that car, Ozzy? And everybody go, we're going to keep your car up front.
It's so beautiful. It is.
But do you know what made me get it, though?
Then
you guys have the Bentley truck. Oh, am I not supposed to say that?
You can say that.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But
you guys had the Bentley truck, and I said, aha, aha, that's what I'm going to get.
But yours is so beautiful.
Yes.
The color is just
I love
you.
The navy.
Every time I come to this studio, uh-huh. I go, that fucking car.
Love it, love it. And I think Mr. Moonves has the same color scheme.
Yeah.
But I don't think his inside is mine is like a caramel.
Yeah, it's
but and
beautiful.
I like the red buttons and everything. I'm sorry, is that not what we're supposed
no.
to
do?
Now tell me, you said that you were thinking about changing your car. And I said to you, get a Rolls Royce.
Oh,
okay,
please.
That's my next. That's my next car.
You do it,
that's
Jim.
My next car.
Worked your
the Rolls Royce Dawn.
Do
the twos, but it's like floating in a boat when you drive it. It's not the what I like about the Bentley is when you step on the gas, you can really open up the engine mm-hmm. and really drive it. The Rolls Royce,
it's like a fucking truck with arm chairs.
Yes, oh my God! But then I cannot go to Ralph's.
This is true. You can't go to Ralph's in a Rolls Royce.
It's the speak on it, Jay. You look stupid as hell.
Yeah.
It's not a real Rolls Royce. It's called Rolls Royce, but it's not made by them.
It's not the big one that you should have a driver.
It's made by some German.
What is it called? The Wraith or the Dawn? It's the smaller one.
But you still can't do it.
You still can't. You got to go to Bristol Farms or Gelson's or something.
Oh, yeah.
You can't.
I mean,
you look really
Gelson's.
Stupid. Yeah, you look really stupid.
Go to the Heeb shop.
Yeah,
it's
Gelson
fine.
Has good samples, though. So, but you know what? Can I just tell you something? I've loved your family so much because you all stick together. You all love each other. But Mrs.
Sometimes.
You have taken me places. Well, I know. Yeah, you're black. You're black. You know, when you fight each other and then you pull it back together. Remember when you took us to the place? Where's the place of Malibu? Next to Nobu.
Oh, it was the Soho House.
Do you have to get a membership to eat there?
Yes.
You got to
get
a Soho House membership to eat there.
Yeah.
Oh, I could have married somebody wealthy. Okay, so what happened now? What are we talking about?
Did you like Malibu?
I loved it. I really loved it. I would probably... Do you have to have a reservation to go to the Nobu place?
No. You wouldn't have to.
No, you can... It's
one seat?
Why don't we go during the holiday?
Yes.
Let's go.
And I like Mastro's.
Can I tell you something? Mm. Oh, we haven't been there, and we want to go to the one on PCH. We were talking about going,
Yeah, there's
remember?
The Mastro's on PCH.
Oh. Why don't we take Cheryl
there? We should
then?
Go.
Yeah.
Oh, my
we can
gosh.
Go, we can do the food of Malibu and do a different night at each place.
What about Valentine's Day?
Well, yeah.
Ooh.
So... It is very close to Valentine's Day.
Wait a minute, and y'all can help me with who I have a crush on.
Who do you have a crush on?
Who do you have a crush on?
Oh, my God.
This is good.
I know. I'm not saying.
Is it like a real crush? Or
it's
is it
a
just
real crush.
Like
who?
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
And it's been for a while.
Do we know this person?
Yeah. And he came on the show, and he smushed his body up against me.
Oh, that's sexual harassment, Cheryl.
No, I was cool with it.
You were cool with it?
Yeah, I was cool
with
it.
You consented?
And he didn't say I had to do it to get a job anyway.
No, okay.
Okay, so who is it?
Hold on a second. Can we just back up for real quick?
Yes.
I think it could be construed as sexual harassment, the fact
whether
that...
Whether I don't have a job
well,
anymore.
Well, no.
I was on my
you
job.
You let Sharon Osbourne puke on you to get a job. This
that
is a new
only,
one.
Well, that was that would only help if I had an orgasm after she puked on me to get the job.
Did
then,
you though? Did you?
I sort of skeeted a little. This is the best podcast in the world.
This is the best.
Cheryl. Oh my god. Let's get to it. Who do you have a crush on? I can be matchmaker.
Well, let's just say.
How famous are they?
He is very,
very famous.
He is very.
Is he married?
No.
Nope. Oh.
No.
How old is he?
I think we're around the same age range. But let me tell you what's funny, though. So he gives me a Christmas present and a Christmas card.
Who? Can you just tell us?
Okay. This is the funny part, though, because I didn't expect. Well, okay. I'm going to tell y'all a story, and then you analyze it, okay?
Okay.
You good deal. Okay.
I feel like we're playing Guess Who.
No, because Sharon knows who. I'm somewhere helping out with the children, and I see him walk up, and he's with a girl.
Oh.
And I'm crestfallen, Kelly. I'm crestfallen. I'm like, oh. So that must be his girlfriend. So everybody goes, no, it's not. And I go, oh, well, you know, hey.
Hey.
We're talking and we're having fun and everything. And he's talking about teaching me something.
Oh.
Now, I heard, is it true, when a man wants to teach you something, they like you?
I think.
I suppose you could say that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or they think you one of the guys. Right.
I'm leaning toward one of the guys because that's been my curse
whole life. Well, no, I've used, like, with my wife, I, like, use the excuse of, like, oh, let me teach you how to shoot. Like,
yes.
And then I'll put a baby in you.
Well, I'm barren.
What?
Yeah, I'm barren. Unless that uterus transplant thing works, it ain't happening. every baby, I said every baby I had, I swallowed.
Hey, Cheryl.
That's why I love adult comedy. I love adult comedy. Because you cannot tell good adult comedy jokes.
Can you, when the talk, you know the talk every year does the, like, secret, like, here's my big secret?
Uh-huh.
Can you swallow the mic as your secret?
Nah, I don't think that's too visual. That's too visual for daytime. Do you know they only let us wear a certain amount of cleavage?
Oh.
Yeah, it's too visible. Okay, so anyway. Okay, so then I watch him sign these Christmas cards, and then they put the card in the thing, and then they hand me a card. And so I'm like, oh, that's okay. That's wonderful. And so then somebody goes, come to the car. He has something for you. And the girl is still there. The girl is still there. So I go, oh, okay. And they pull out this big, gigantic box.
Wow.
And he comes over to me and goes, Merry Christmas, and kisses me on the top of my head.
Oh.
Oh.
So it wasn't like a Matt Lauer Christmas gift. It wasn't like a dildo or anything,
no.
Right?
No. Okay, it would not have been bad.
What was the gift?
The gift was, I don't know what kind of fabric this is, but it was very soft, and it was Dusty Rose,
mm-hmm.
And it had my initials in it.
Oh, that took some thought.
But then I'm thinking, but also this person has sent me four figures of flowers.
Oh.
So what does this person do? Is he a musician or actor?
Is he gay?
I would really like to see that on a loop if he is. I would watch that.
Is he a musician or actor? or other?
Other and actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he a white gentleman or a black gentleman?
Neither.
Oh.
Neither.
Latino?
Neither. But I will tell you this, though. For the white men listening, just call into this podcast. Because I'm going to date more in 2018. I'm going to date more.
Okay.
So, what was the... Oh, okay. So, I opened this thing, right? And I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do with it? And how does somebody know it matches my bedroom?
Aww.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to have sex with this person. Show my appreciation for this nice blanket. Because isn't that what... I think that's what you're supposed to do. Or some sex act.
For a gift?
Well, for a gift that's been monogrammed.
Don't
you think? Yeah. You know how much it costs to monogram?
Yeah, I know. That some thought goes into that.
But here's the catch of it, though. How do I don't think this person believes that, well, maybe the person don't like me like that. How do I find out, would you like to spend the rest of your life with me in a separate house? And we'd be married to each other.
I would love that.
I would want to be married. This is what
I think. Please know who this person is.
I think it's
what is it like, Mario
thing.
Lopez?
I believe it's Mario Lopez is married.
Well, okay, then
and
I'm trying
he's gorgeous.
Well, because I know your type, so I'm trying to figure out who it is.
Well, okay, let me tell you what I need since I'm deputizing all of y'all to look for me. I need somebody with their own money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you've got to be in the millions so that your money is more than my money.
Okay.
I need somebody to understand, like I'm building my radio thing, you know, we got 156 affiliates. There are things that I want to get into producing. I want a man who understands that's a part of my life and not all my life. And then I want a man who's a man. Mm. I can't be the man if you know.
So you want to do the like chops wood and like can build things.
He doesn't have to, or can he call people to chop wood and build things? But I just want a man to be a man.
I think calling and having someone else do it and not have, hi, can you help me do this? Can you do this for me? Like somebody that can do their own stuff.
Right. Well, I believe he's my Ozzy.
Oh.
I believe it. I believe that this, and that's when I figured it out. I believe he's like what Sharon is to Ozzy, he is to me.
Can you tell me who this person is after the show?
I will tell you after the show because we have to have a plan.
Well, if this person's listening to these podcasts, he's going to know it's him.
This is true.
The blanket is the giveaway.
Oh.
And it's on my bed right now.
Woo.
Oh, my gosh.
But you want to get him in the bed.
Well, okay, that's where we got a problem, Ozzy, because I'm not good at the rest of the stuff. I have one good talent.
I guarantee you're better.
I think we've kind of figured that out.
But if I could do that one good talent on you and you get sleepy, then you don't remember that we didn't do the thing that
right.
I'm not good at.
Right.
Right? Wouldn't men like... Okay, don't look at your mom.
No.
Wouldn't men like
if
they could get oral sex and be able to watch TV and eat snacks, wouldn't that be the perfect marriage? And you have your own house, which is your man cave, but you married. So when the girl that's in your face go, bitch, I can't marry you because I'm married.
Go and answer it.
No? No?
Yeah.
Okay. Jack has not opened his eyes for the last 5 minutes.
What do you think? What do you think, Jack? No?
I think that there is some definite pros to that scenario, but then there's some cons.
What's the con?
Like, cuddling is nice.
Oh, we're going to cuddle. I have a plan. Okay, so here's my plan, Ozzy. You're going to love it. Here's my plan. So I come over to the house, like if he says, baby, I miss you, or if
now,
I just...
Do you guys live next door to each other or across town?
No, way across town. Way across town.
Another city.
Yeah.
Another
state. Another part of Southern California.
So it's like a weekend husband.
Yes, but I want to be able to come over and stock the refrigerator and pick up the dry cleaning, pet the dog, and smooch a little bit, and then do the one talent I got. And while he's sleeping, I'm gonna slide out from under his arm because we cuddle, right? That's the one time we cuddle. And then I'm gonna put the car in either neutral or reverse and
you're
back
totally
down
doing
the driveway
neutral.
Without making a noise, because I don't want that sad look on his face, like, where you going? You know? I just want to be able to get out of there. And then he wakes up and goes, where are you? And I go, I'm at home. When are you coming back? When you call me.
Okay, so paint me your perfect Valentine scenario with this mystery blanket-giving gentleman.
A wonderful dinner.
What kind? Are we talking...
Great.
Okay, but like
lobster,
American cuisine,
ribs,
Italian, sushi. What are we talking?
Barbecue.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
All of that.
Okay.
On top of him while he's naked and you can eat off of him.
Mastro has a Japanese marbled.
Wagyu.
Yeah. Is it good? Really good?
I don't know. I haven't had it.
Oh, you don't eat beef?
I do, but I haven't eaten that one.
Do you want to hear a funny story about do you eat beef? Uh-huh. When we were kids, uh-huh. my mom would go, no, we don't eat beef. So we would never eat steak out at restaurants or anything. But yet she would take us to McDonald's and get us cheeseburgers.
Because ground beef is not really beef.
Now, right. I can't eat a steak because I feel weird about it.
No, we don't eat. Every time I always say him, no, we don't eat steak, Jack.
I would like for him to go. I would like to take him maybe on Valentine's Day or before Valentine's, because men get creeped out by Valentine's Day. So I would like to take him to a wonderful, wonderful meal, right? And the dinner is over. We can have a couple of cocktails and the dinner's over and we make out and then I go home.
Okay.
How about that?
why don't you just find a gay friend?
No!
What kind of make out with?
What kind of fucking answer to her problem is that?
Can I make out with a gay friend, though?
Yeah!
No.
I'd love it. I make out with a lot of my gay friends.
Well,
that wouldn't be gay if you make out with women.
Yeah, but you don't do anything else.
What about
else?
The oral sex thing? My only skill.
That's not your only skill.
In the bed it is, Mrs. Zone. I'm going to tell you it's garbage. It's horrible. It is the worst. I need to put like money or surprises or something in there because it's the worst.
Oh, my God.
You can have jokes right now.
Yeah. I like the idea of surprises. You just pull them out.
Like that thing.
Just like a magician, right? And then it comes out in different colors.
And then a bouquet of flowers comes out.
A rabbit and a dove.
I'm pretty sure you two are going to get fired after this podcast.
No, we're going to get promoted after this podcast.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be running the joint.
Honestly, truly, we have a lot in common. We really love community service. I believe, and our origins are both the same. Okay. Sad origins in the beginning of our lives. I don't know if he's ever dated a black woman. And he's got to be willing to try as much as you could try. And if it does end up falling in love for the rest of your life, I think you need to live in your own house until we're too old to live apart. Mm. It'd be different if I was younger. If I was younger, then we could live together. But at this age, we're too old to live in a house together.
You have your routine, you have your setup, you have your life.
I just believe that men need a certain amount of solitude and man cave that a woman, the older she gets, she wants to cling and cuddle and nurture. That when a man gets older, he needs that respite, that go away.
That leave me the fuck alone.
Right, because when they were cavemen, they could go away and go, I'm going to hunt for food. And they come back 3 months later.
Yep.
And then they would come back and they dragging like a dinosaur behind them. That's a lot of food, you know, and they come back, right? But I don't think women understand that about men.
It's true.
And the reason I think that I'm not married is because I'm the best companion. I'm not a good wife. I'm a good companion.
Okay.
You know, because some men can't take who the fuck you talking to. They can't take if I say who the fuck you talking to.
I know what you
even
mean.
Even if I'm kidding. You know, I could be kidding. Who the fuck? You just stand up on me and go. I date a lot of athletes. A lot of athletes from the 70s and 80s. And I was the best girlfriend they ever had. And they all say, I wish I would have married you. And they're like, yeah, I'm glad you didn't. Because what you did to her.
Look at me now.
That's right. And what you did to her, your wife. You know?
Yeah.
But this one I do like, and I wouldn't mind. Do you believe Sharon that I want to help him? Is that why I have this big crush on him? Because Sharon knows who he is.
No, I do believe that you want to help him. Of course I do. Mm. But I think for you realized how bad he was into what he's into.
Yes.
You already were
gone.
Had fallen for
gone.
Him. Yeah. You didn't realize how bad he was into what he does.
I love a wounded bird.
What mm-hmm. do you mean? Is he an alcoholic like us?
I would say some things.
I know he is.
I love you.
Oh my God, I've just figured out who it is too.
I'm confused.
Ah! Mom.
Let me see. Kelly is
on. I'm going to put my glasses on.
How many kidneys you got?
Shit. When mine ain't worth it to give away.
Do you know what's really interesting is that he sent me those flowers too.
He did.
Those really tall ones.
He did.
That's him. Gone.
Yeah. What? When I was on his show.
Who?
He did.
Mm-hmm.
So you know who it is.
Yes.
So you know who it is.
I'll text it to you.
In a commercial break.
Okay.
But here's the catch of it, though. I've heard that he respects the fact that I'm very smart. which is a good thing. I don't think he understands why I like to go to the strip club, Magic City in Atlanta.
Well, let's talk about this.
Oh, can we go there together, please?
Yes, we can.
Hold on. I want...
What goes on in this strip club?
It has the best
stripping.
Chicken wings and broccoli in the history of mankind.
Okay.
Can we back up for a second? Because I remember many years ago, I was in New York, same time Mom was, and there was a big CBS party, and I came with some friends, and we sat down. And we were chatting for a while, and you proceeded to tell us that you, after a lot of your comedy shows, go to strip clubs with your friends.
That's right.
And that you travel everywhere with your lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And
a smart idea.
And you basically get crunk at these strip clubs.
What's crunk?
Explain to Mom what crunk is.
First of all, Mom, do you want to get crunk?
What the fuck is a crunk?
We get crunk. Well, I think now they call it a turn up.
Okay.
Yeah. They call it a turn up now. So
we turn
up. It's like what happens when you and I go to lunch.
So she shits herself and pukes everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It's just a lot of fun. Every place we've gone together, we've had a lot of fun. Right.
So that's what a crank is.
Because that's right.
Crunk. So that's what a crunk is.
It's a combination of crazy drunk.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But there's a lot of nudity, and a lot of things that women do that I want to learn.
Daddy and I used to go to strip clubs all the time.
Man,
shush.
All the time.
Ozzy, we went in Germany.
Yeah.
We used to go in London.
To string but it ain't this.
It ain't this.
You don't understand what Cheryl's describing here. I've been to the kind of clubs that Cheryl's on about.
Were they surfboarding?
Yeah.
Listen, if I walked in with the whole Osborne family, we'd turn it out.
What is a surfboarding?
Oh, no, Mom.
Isn't it where it's a girl on top of another girl, and the girl is sliding down, and she's the board, and then there's another girl standing on top of her, right?
Well, I don't think that's what Beyonce means when she's singing about
surfboard?
It.
Surfboard? What's she mean?
I don't fucking know.
Oh, sorry.
I thought they were just like...
Yeah, well, yeah.
Dropping
and she's on top?
Yeah.
Who's on top?
She is.
Beyonce.
Yes. Listen, second, third talent I don't have. I'm not good at
I'm so lazy.
Why don't we put you in some like acrobatic classes to get you more flexible for this?
Hold on. Before the acrobatic classes, I want to stay on the strip club for a second.
Yes.
You told me a story.
Yes.
And you might want to go into detail that you paid a... a certain amount of money to slap her?
No, they were slapping on the booties.
Okay.
They were slapping on the booties. But also, you know, we throw a lot of, we make it rain.
Okay.
I take a lot of my CBS money. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Montez. And we make it rain. We contribute.
Okay.
But let me give my disclaimer, too. I'm also the same person that would go down there and ask these girls, how long are you going to be doing this? You said last time I was here, you was going to finance a beauty salon or you were going to get an education. You still here. What's up? What's up? You trying to be here? Oh, Cheryl, here you go with this education. Because you said you were going to get an education. So I do try to talk to them. But I'm going to give you the real reason why I go in the strip clubs. It's the only place where I can go where nobody's really looking at me. They're looking at her. And the broccoli is amazing. It is. It's seasoned very well. The broccoli is amazing. One day we just ate the broccoli and it was just amazing. But you see a lot of celebrities, a lot of athletes, a lot of politicians, a lot of people, you know, that you could sit down and talk to. It's really background. You know, but it's a lot of fun. And I would like to take my crush there and go, isn't this fun?
Is it nice in there?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
So
you need to bring like a blanket to sit over a chair or something. Okay. But
don't take one of those blue lights.
Right.
In there.
And you'd be like, right. No. But the fun part about it is, when you're at a certain level, like when we went into the Chinese food place at the Dorchester, you do get treated differently and you get a little extra security and a little extra stuff. I've never been disrespected there. Never. Mm-hmm. Never. And when I got the job on the talk, they everybody said, "Can you bring the ladies down here?"
No.
They would have a lot of fun, and it is fun. It is a lot of fun, and you learn a lot of stuff. Like I didn't know how far a fist and an elbow could go. I didn't know that.
It's interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh wow.
I didn't know that.
Mm. Is it interesting, Kelly?
Skill I like to have.
Do they do that on stage?
You can put a whole. I saw a guy put his whole fist all the way up to his elbow.
No.
In a girl's vagina. I was so sad. I was like,
the look on Dad's face right now. He's not even angry. He's amazed.
But I was really sad. I was like, guys, I can't do that. Is that Mel Torme on the back of the wall?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Cool. Cheryl is pointing at, we have a fireplace with everyone with a lot of old famous signatures on.
Pat Carroll?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Natalie Wood. That's cool. Okay, I'm sorry. What's the question?
Squirrel.
Yes. Yeah.
What would you? Okay, so you know about these fantasy hotels?
Like,
do you know
what?
About fantasy hotels?
What?
Okay, in Japan they're called love hotels, where you can like rent a room and have sex in them, and they're themed.
Like,
really?
You can go to like one that's like.
So I could take my crush.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Would you take your crush to a fantasy hotel, like if it was themed like 1950s or gypsy suite or Roman suite?
What theme would you want?
Well, okay, the 1950 thing, well, we didn't have our rights back then, so I won't go there.
I think a good old toga.
Disco theme.
Yeah,
toga party.
Toga party.
No,
well,
she
Roman.
Needs to be disco queen.
What about, you could be Cleopatra
Nubians.
In the, yeah, Cleopatra.
Yes, we were the Nubians.
Yes.
Queen of Sheba.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that might work out.
Okay.
And the Egyptians, mm-hmm. We brought gifts. Okay, got it. Okay, what other theme is there?
You could do like a good.
The
like,
list goes on.
Okay, give me the list.
Where the bed is a disco bowl, and there's like a disco themed.
But
one.
If I'm drinking and then the ball twirls around, then I vomit, and then.
No.
Then bring Sharon in because she'll vomit.
Right, and then we'll just projectile. And I will lose 15 pounds. You know, I do believe, I was telling you, you know, when we were talking, and I said, I'm mad at myself. How can I run a company, have my life so controlled in my business life, but I can't lose 60 pounds? So I'm determined to lose 60 pounds. Would I look bad at 135, Shane?
No.
You'd look stunning.
Yeah, but would I look emaciated?
No.
Do you think they would take me to like health and human resources or something up at CBS? What are you doing? What the hell's happening to you? Okay, I'm gonna take all that much time and do it and see if I can do it.
Goals. Hashtag goals.
Absolutely. I didn't make a New Year's resolution. I didn't do it. I started beforehand. Remember I got as high as 215?
Yeah.
And I was like, something's wrong. I'm either allergic to something, something's happening. So I started to take food out my diet until I could figure out what was puffing me up, and then I dropped 20 pounds.
Nice.
Dropped 20 pounds, so I'm really into this. So now this place, I got to get him on a plane to Japan. Right.
All right.
He would do anything.
Love hotels here?
They do, yeah.
Wait a minute. You got flowers sent to you too? Wait, but it was after something, right?
After I went on his show.
Okay, well, guys. Okay, I've never been. I didn't get
This is getting
deep. No, honestly. I
want to know something, because it's Valentine's Day,
uh-huh.
And we've been focusing so much attention on the wonderful Shara here. Kelly, are you dating anyone right now?
No,
thank
I'm not.
You.
Are you? Do you have any Valentine's Day plans?
Eat? I don't know. I don't understand the concept of Valentine's Day.
I'll tell you what
if
the
you
concept
love
is.
Someone,
you feed someone, and then you have sex with that someone.
Great.
That's
I'm
Valentine's
really
Day.
I'm glad that you're
how much do I get paid to eat and have sex with people? how much do I get
not
paid?
Enough.
I
are
don't
you
mind
look?
The eating, I but then I need TV.
I love yes. that Kelly is still like so totally awkward about talking about sex in front of our parents.
I'm sorry, that'll never change. I'm awkward about talking about sex in front of anybody.
But, like,
do you know what Kelly Catrone does to me? That's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be having a conversation in the meeting, and then she'll be like, watch this, and get everyone in on it when I'm not paying attention, and she'll drop something like butt sex or like talk about something, and I die. Like, I don't, I've never been.
Can I tell you something? So, you know, Pearl and Andy, my children, your nieces, they exist because I inserted my penis.
That's right. Stork didn't bring them.
Nope.
I can talk about the most vulgar things in the world, but the minute somebody talks about sex or penises or anything, I'm like, oh.
Say it. Penis, penis, penis. Vagina, vagina, vagina. Vagina.
So Kelly, you and I are, a day apart, aren't we?
Yes.
A day apart. So
is that birthday?
Yeah. Yeah. So do you want to be in love for the rest of your life?
I think everybody wants to be in love, but I'm like you. I'm like, I get this fear that I'm going to roll over and look at that person and be like, ugh, you.
It happens.
Well,
you
that
does happen from time.
Does it happen?
But
Ozzy?
Then you don't go.
You don't act on it.
No, I love my wife dearly. I tell her every morning mm-hmm. and every night, I love you. And I think what happens, you, if you don't check each other, I really want to be here? Yeah? Mm-hmm. It goes away. You forget about it.
Better checkity check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Go ahead now, Jay. Jay Pippin. Spitting that game, son. That's what I'm talking about. Hort. Okay.
I believe that a marriage license is the heaviest contract you will ever sign. You're giving your life to another person. And it's not all.
It's not all pieces of crap.
I'm searching for the asshole who wrote, and they both lived happily ever after.
Right.
He's a fucking liar.
But Ozzy, let me ask you a question as a man in love for all these years. How do you? Because I like the wounded bird. I love a wounded bird.
Oh, that's Dad.
Yeah, I love a wounded bird, and I can't make men understand. One, I believe in marriage. I believe in until death do us part.
It's not you don't go to the dancing to the tulips. Okay. Some days, Shannon looks at me, she goes, I fucking hate you. I don't like you today.
Uh-huh.
But I love her, but sometimes I don't like her, and vice versa, because I'll do something stupid, and she'll fucking...
Oh, God, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, that's just the nature
of marriage.
It's the nature of, even if you weren't married, Dad, did you ever have a roommate?
No.
Even when you have a
roommate. Yeah, he was my first wife.
So when you have, a roommate, they could be your best friend, but you're still like, oh, this person's really fucking annoying me.
I don't do roommates well.
No.
That's why I want to marry somebody who's willing to live in their own house.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, right. And can I tell you something?
But let me tell you something. Guys are different to women. Guys are hunters. Women are the
nurturers.
Hunt their way all the way to someone else's vagina.
But Woody, well, not necessarily.
No, I mean, it's more, you know what it is, Kelly? It's about understanding that for the most part, guys aren't just meant to come home after work, sit on the couch, do their thing, get up, leave. Like, for me, I need to have my man outlet. I go surf.
I want you to have that. Yeah, I want you to have golf. I want you to have something you do without
me. I don't
want to
do everything with that person. And for once, I'd really like somebody to look after me.
Yeah.
But that's not really
I would like to have a man that other women find attractive, and he get his flirt on, and I walk up behind him and go, hey, big daddy, for $500. And we actually know each other, and go, hey, big daddy, for $500, this could be the time of your life. And he goes, what the hell are you doing? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I just want somebody to understand me, that I'm looking for a man because my father was a very strong man. My oldest brother, very strong man. But I also want men to know you can make a mistake and I'm not going to leave you.
Cheryl, I have an idea.
What's that?
We're going to do a TV show called The Black Chillerette.
What? Oh, as soon as I heard black, I was like, okay.
The Black Chillerette.
And it's my own dating show?
And we will find you a man.
Okay, y'all go produce it. I'm serious. I'm in. When are we doing it? Go ahead and pitch it. Y'all don't even need to pay me. I'll do it. I get to make out with 25 dudes and hand them roses.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm in.
You can hand them whatever you want. It doesn't have to be roses.
And then Ozzy, they've got to go through Ozzy to get to me because my dad's not alive anymore.
And Ozzy will absolutely drill them before they get
asses.
To you. Yes.
Oh, that's going to be
you
so cool.
You disrespect this woman and you're fucking dead.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Same way my brother said it.
I think this is a good... We could do this.
But what about my crush, though?
Your crush
I don't think that crush is the right person for you. You're too.
Okay,
you
know tell me why. Tell me why.
Tell me why.
We got minutes.
You have two kidneys.
Damn.
No, you know why? Because this person, as nice as they are, and I totally get why you like them, as nice as...
I'm sorry. I got two of them.
But look at that. Look that story is a perfect example. She gave her to him.
No. Let's sing this.
But this is the other thing that most people don't know.
My mom's like,
it was a power. It was a power thing there too. You know that, right?
I'm so confused. It's a power thing.
And we're going to talk after it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah, this is the whole thing, though. This is the whole thing. See, I don't have to worry about no shit like that because I'm not giving you no body part. Because black people believe we're supposed to have all our body parts together when we see Jesus so he will recognize us.
So we ain't getting nothing.
No, not at all. Not at all. And all them Jacksons that had their face redone, Jesus don't know them.
Oh,
never, never, ever. Well, but here's the thing. Of all the bad, I would say this. Of all the bad that has happened, if I wasn't here, I wouldn't be in the stratosphere of this person. You know, because mm-hmm. I've dated very powerful men, generals, politicians.
Judges.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Yep. I've dated famous athletes. I've dated really famous people. I just like a good old-fashioned clandestine secret relationship.
Okay.
I'm into that. Yeah. And I really want a guy who understands that the talk and that radio and comedy and everything that I do, it's a part of what makes me me. But really, I just want to come home and make you a sandwich.
Kelly had a good clandestine relationship.
Oh, shut up, Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-oh. A good one.
Who was it?
Who?
Oh, a good uh-oh. One.
Turn the power off. Let's talk about it.
Who?
Don't worry about it.
But Mrs. O, don't you like taking care of Ozzy?
Sure I do. No, I do.
Sure I do.
Of course I do.
And Ozzy, don't you like Mrs. Austin?
Okay, one point that I have to say is over absolutely everything that my mom does, mm-hmm. the thing that comes first is taking care of Dad.
Yes, and that's what I'm missing. She's the custodian.
Even though it's not sometimes reciprocated the way that it should be. And let's be honest, like, it's been a bit crap sometimes.
But here's the thing. I think that's why I look at the two relationships as parallel, because nobody's going to be everything at that time. It's the memories of the great stuff that goes, you know, you're really getting on my motherfucking nerves right now, but I love you because, you know, when my husband was alive, I had a whole future planned out for us. Did I know that he was mentally ill and going to commit suicide? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But if I didn't love my husband, I would not have known that I'm capable of love. All the men that came after him, they enjoyed the benefit of that. They enjoyed the benefit of me wanting to care and take care of them. But I do love a nice wounded bird. And I love anybody that thinks I'm smart. Mm. You know, because
You are smart.
You're really smart.
But the sex is, you know, after. If I'm not smart, why are you with me? You know, because you can get sex from anybody, and I hope that you do. Especially that one thing that I don't like to do. That sweaty poundy thing is not. That sweaty poundy.
Well, this I think that this show should blow be up called doll. Sweaty poundy.
Sweaty poundy thing.
Oh, and, Dad's and, off.
He's gone to the toilet.
This has been the most fun podcast. Did we talk about anything that was on your list?
No,
we did. We hit a couple points. Oh. We did. No, but this is. But like the list is a thing that we kind
of
utilize. Yeah.
It's gonna be hard to get a better guest than you.
That is so sweet.
Cheryl, I know you do. You do a radio show, but
yep,
do
Cheryl Underwood Radio.
Why don't you do your own podcast as well?
Well, our podcast is the radio show in a different edited form.
Okay.
And then sometimes what we do when we run out of time, because PPM, you really do 3-minute segments because the PPM meter.
Yeah.
We will have a long form discussion on and we'll put it up on the podcast, which is free, and then we have an app which is $1.99. And I mean, I like doing radio and I like self-syndicating because nobody else. Look, I worked for Tom Joyner, now he's going to retire. I still work for Steve Harvey. And Steve's on 100 markets. I'm on 156 markets. So together, my voice is being heard in 250 plus
markets. That's amazing.
Markets. And a girl that's doing it. Wendy Williams did not do this when she was in radio. And she's not doing it now. Mm. And I like, Mrs. O really taught me a lot about what I could do in my career. And there are things that I just don't accept now because I'm really glad you are a sister to me to go, nah, that ain't cool.
Yeah.
Nah, that ain't cool. So I like it.
Plug your radio show a little bit. What is it?
It's on TuneIn, and you can find it at Sheryl Underwood Radio. We talk politics, relationship, entertainment, and sports. And we are in colleges. We're on 21 HBCU stations and low power and AM and FM stations, and we don't program music, so that's how we get around. But we do have a new show. We're gonna bring back American Bandstand and Soul Train.
Are you really?
Yeah, we're gonna bring it back.
Oh my God!
But we're gonna take
amazing.
It around the college campuses, because if you notice these new young acts, what is it, the Cardi B's and everybody? Uh-huh. They're not performing in front of kids dancing to it.
Yeah, I know.
And these kids nowadays don't slow dance. So we're going to take that to college campuses. And we do a hip-hop version of the show, a spiritual version of the show, and a late-night cupcaking. And the late-night cupcaking because one of my friends on the show, he has a girlfriend that's on social media, so we saw them cupcaking. And then when I got flowers, and I said, I want to be able to talk about what I feel, you know. And I have some amazing crushes. El DeBarge, you hear me talking about you. I love El DeBarge.
What is cupcaking? What is late night cupcaking?
Late night cupcaking. It's just spooning, getting together, getting yours. Late night cupcaking. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. See, y'all learn all the terms.
Late night cupcaking.
Yeah. So we got to end it so that we can have a conversation off the mic.
I know. Yeah.
Because Kelly is not liking my crush.
I really like your crush as a person.
But you don't think that?
I think that...
You don't think he's the one?
No, I don't think he's the
one. Okay, wait a minute. I got a question. Who would be the one if I didn't have a crush on him? Who would you put me together with?
Oh, you know
who
I think you'd be good with?
Who?
Ty Diggs.
So it's kind of short, isn't it?
Wounded Bud, though. Wounded Bud.
Yeah, but does he?
His own money.
Okay, wait a minute. As my friend Harry Sutherland says, is he picking from the colored section?
I
didn't think they were black. I didn't think they were dark. And they're not dark. Not saying he can't. I just don't. I look at, when I meet a guy, I go, show me what your last girl looked like. And if it ain't me or somebody that looked like me, then I go, are you willing to take this chance? And if you're not willing to take the chance, I'm out. I'm out. Because if you don't like dark-skinned women...
It don't work like
that. It don't work like that?
It's the chemistry. I was married to another woman. I always had a fancy to Sharon. Uh-huh. And I said, look at Sharon. And I'd go, she would never have me. I loved her from a distance for many years. And then I ended up being managed by her father. Mm-hmm. And it went from there. And I go... Why did I get married before?
Hey, can I interject? So technically, Mum, were you Dad's manager? So were you in a position of power?
Yes.
And did you sexually harass him?
No.
He sexually harassed her.
Hashtag me too.
I truly believe that your mother and I were meant for each other.
Who's the victim?
I feel the same way, Ozzy. I feel the same. How did you know?
When I got into trouble.
And she stood by you.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm telling you. Remember I said, he's my Ozzy.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't give you safe haven to clown, but she does tell you, hey, you know you fucked up, right? And then let's work on how we're going to get out of this, right? That's why you love her.
I couldn't imagine.
Life without her.
Yeah, no, I couldn't.
Yeah.
There's no other woman in the world.
There you go. See? And you loved her from afar. I'm keeping my distance. I'm keeping my distance. It's just something about him that you don't like, Kelly. So, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that off the air.
Let's talk about it off the air.
Off the air.
This is the best podcast in the world.
It is, isn't it?
But she said, you said Ty Diggs. You said who?
I don't know, because I think you're one of the coolest people I know, that like hardly anyone is good enough for you in my eyes.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. Don't forget, her first husband died.
Yeah.
So she's probably wanting to get a safer situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wait, Dad, was that?
No. You, the real talk.
I mean, there's no remedy. There's no.
Can we just talk about, you just real basically talk. Said you want to find someone who won't.
Safest as well. Somebody that won't kill themselves. So real talk.
I was trying to be polite.
Right. And you fucked it up. I knew exactly what you said. You was like, shit. You was like, and try not to go be above
that's
the
right,
fifth floor.
That's right.
You was real talk, Ozzy. That, look, you need a black podcast called Real Talk with Ozzy. Gone with that bullshit. That's a show. Let me tell you something. You be bigger than Dr. Phil. Gone with that bullshit with Ozzy Osbourne. We taking calls.
Dr. Phil.
He was real. That is one of the questions I ask. Have you ever had a propensity to want to take your own life, or are you mentally ill in any way, and do you need help for it? Because I am worried about that. You know?
I mean, it's not everybody that goes bang, you know.
Right. He tried twice, took overdose, and then the second time he jumped off a building. And that, to me, that takes great courage to jump off a building.
Wow. I mean, there was that one where that guy tried to save that woman. He broke his back and she walked away.
Just walked away from it. That's right. That's right. And if you listening to this and you need help, you need to call and get help, because help can be afforded to you. But my husband was not going to get help, no matter how much I tried. It wasn't meant to be. And I accept that. Yeah. I have had a very wonderful physical life. Very wonderful. I've gotten to do things that most people only dream
about. Like having Sharon Osbourne puke all over you?
And having sex wearing multiple championship rings on both hands.
I love you so much.
Oh, let me tell you, I've done stuff like walk up to the finest dude in a restaurant and go, hey man, let me suck your dick.
Wow. You know what? That's how we end the show, right there. That's it.
That's it. I love you so much, Cheryl.
Ladies and gentlemen, please tune in next
week.
Cheryl!
And then we'll tell you how Valentine's Day went.
Cheryl!
I do have a lot of fun being
here. God. Cheryl! Who was the guy you said that to?